This is not what the American people want, to have a war in Syria.
And I feel like people have forgotten, like, the last 10 years.
All right, war in Syria, that's where we're at again. Public opinion. Is it cruel and nasty to say we don't want to go over there, even though we hear about the chemical weapons? Hey, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and this is America Tonight. The president will address the nation later at 9 o'clock Eastern, where he's expected to lay out a proposal to win everybody over, or as many as possible, as to why this is the right thing to do. In the meantime, Congress is backing down. Harry Reid called off any kind of a vote in the Senate, probably for fear that there wasn't enough happening there, and there wasn't, because the votes clearly weren't intact, which is a big surprise, because it looked like there was going to be support, at least in the Senate, for this. But, you know, the whole Senate wasn't back, and this was just a few meetings at the White House. And I guess it's that old saying about believing that you have your ducks in a row, and they weren't in a row at all. Because what Congress and the Senate is doing is they're listening to what their constituents are saying, and the constituents aren't happy. And that's us. That's a fancy word for you and me. We're the people who vote for the people to represent us. And guess what? They want to keep representing us. It's a good gig. They get to go and eat in the congressional hall. And they get to go and argue and then not pass any laws. Oh, she said sarcastically. So here's the deal. What ultimately will happen probably doesn't happen until next week. It gets booted most likely until then, since there are some other things in play, including the fact that the president and Putin talked about securing chemical weapons and getting them out of Syria. And if Assad would agree to that, that this would push the United States off the idea of shooting any missiles into Damascus. So Syria's welcomed that idea that was floated for it to hand over the weapons to be destroyed to avoid any kind of a strike. That proposal from Russia followed what was a remark by the Secretary of State, John Kerry, an offhanded remark, and the UN Secretary General also backs the idea, too, as well. The president confirmed that he did talk about it last week while he was in St. Petersburg, Russia, for the G20 summit. Obama and Putin had a chat on Friday for about 20 minutes or so, even though it was really icy stares before that. So if this kicks in, this is a whole different ballgame, then the weapons are out of there and there's no strike. Can't undo what happened to the people that were killed with the weapons before that, but there would be no reason to have any kind of intervention because there's nothing else that could happen. It's interesting because it seemed like, you know, okay, is Assad the bad guy? Are the rebels better than Assad? And then the struggle of the chemical weapons in between. The president should hope that this is what works out because, one, then he doesn't have to do the whole missile thing and he's burned up some fuel with the ships that are waiting at bay out there, but has not gone through Tomahawk missiles, which are 1.5 million apiece, and clearly getting the results of removing the weapons if that were to happen. So that would be that would probably be the better alternative, especially with Congress looking like they're not going to back the president. So if Congress is a no-go, this means this is a way for also the president to save face. And whether people believe it or not, and no matter what he says, in that office, listen, you don't get to be president and you don't have, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, unless you want to be there and you have a healthy ego. And his ego is getting kicked around all over the place by Congress and all of us not backing this. So this is part of what's unfolding here. if the weapons are gone, then there's no need for any blessing from Congress. And the problem is the strategy has been flawed from the start. Doing nothing, and then all of a sudden, poof, let's go for everything. So that one vote, that crucial test vote on Syria, clearly shows the numbers aren't there. And if there was going to be a chamber it passed in, it would be the Senate. But the Senate Majority Leader called off, backed off the plans to schedule a test vote on Wednesday on the White House-backed resolution to authorize military strikes against Syria. And this is what Reid was pushing, and then all of a sudden he pulled away, realizing the votes aren't there, so you don't want to take a vote with, especially in Reid's position, and have it go down and then have to face, why did you do that? What about a trial balloon? So that was a trial balloon that was floated, and that was why he decided, okay, time to back off of this. And it's probably a very smart thing. So, looking ahead, we also have a wrap of football. Oh, yes, we have to lighten the load at some point here, right? And a big reminder that we do nail the score on our Wednesdays into Thursdays in our third hour for three segments. The computer randomly picks the game of the week in the NFL. Then you call in, say who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. Seems so easy, doesn't it? But it's deceivingly hard. We have had two people, however, nail the score in the last 2 years, Dave in Vermont and Chris in Connecticut. So it is possible. It is possible to win the game. And then you clear out the prize closet. We did have a couple of Monday night games. We're going to talk about those coming up next on America Tonight and mix up a couple of other odds and ends. Maybe you're sick of talking about Syria and you want to get back to the business of, hey, what's really on my mind are what? The infuriating taxes that you're paying in your neck of the woods? Or something else that has burned you? All right, here's what Obama had to say about support in Congress.
This is something that, I have said to my team is the reason I took this to Congress in the first place. I think that on issues like this, it's important for me to weigh consensus in this country. Strikes may be less effective if I don't have congressional support and if the American people don't recognize why we're doing this. So I haven't made a final determination in terms of what next steps would be.
Hasn't made that final determination. So what are the next steps? What is going to be outlined? I think we'll hear some of that if there's some concrete steps. Maybe they'll be part of the speech that the president gives to the nation in prime time on Tuesday night. That's most likely where he'll drop those. And if Russia has kicked in with the conversations with Assad, and the idea is, okay, we'll give you the chemical weapons, then that is a huge game changer, and it really bails Obama out, no doubt about it. All right, hang with us. What happened to those Monday nighters? We're going to tell you next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Monday Night Football, there was a doubleheader play to round out the first week in the NFL. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney just reminding you about Nail the Score, which I previously mentioned, so you get it. Be there. It's easy. You don't have to even be a great big football fan. It's fun to play, and it's just for three segments. Taking a break from the wah, wah, wah on both sides of things that really, really infuriate all of us. Maybe we'll lower our blood pressure a little bit along the way. If you were a Washington Redskins fan, your blood pressure was boiling by the end of the game, and maybe the same thing for the Chargers. What interesting finishes on the Monday night games. Philly beats the Redskins 33-27. It wasn't even close. Just a tail-end scare there at the end when Washington started to come back a little bit. Houston, different story. They win time expiring with a kick, no less. Scoring the final 24 points, they reel it off, and they beat the Chargers on that field goal. So it was a wild finish, I think, to what was a pretty interesting week, week one in the NFL. There were some unpredictable things that happened and real nail biters. A couple of blowouts, but not that many. In some cases, teams were coming back, and others really just barely hung on for the win. In the game I just wrapped up, the Texans, Randy Bullock kicked the 41-yarder with time was just going off the clock, and Houston was down 21 points in the second half. If you're a Texas fan, if you're, you know, a fan of the Houston Texans, that is an awesome finish. And maybe some people went to bed and said, I'm not watching any more of this. So this team has some pretty big aspirations, and they looked pretty gritty in the comeback. Matt, I know that you were at the studios, the mothership in Minneapolis, and you were watching some football. That was a wild finish, wasn't it, for the Texans?
Yeah, both games actually ended up being a lot closer than the first half would have.
Yeah.
You would have thought, because the Eagles jumped out super quick with, you know, their fast-paced, fast-break offense, and the same thing with the Chargers. Phillip Rivers had three touchdown passes in the first half and then just imploded in the second half. A lot of that was the defense, too. There was at one point they had Houston stopped for a field goal, then they had a penalty on the field goal. Texas went down and on the off the penalty and scored a touchdown to be within seven, and then Phillip Rivers sort of threw the interception, pick six to Brian Cushing. So they kind of let that game get away from them. But I don't know. It was actually entertaining football for most of the night, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was entertaining, too. I think of the games, I don't know, if I had to pick out the best game, I'll tell you one of the craziest finishes, because there was so much pressure on the Jets situation. And geez, what are you going to do, Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez, and what's going to happen there? And the Jets are just crap, and they're playing in New York, and this year the Super Bowl's in New York, and somehow, miraculously, they hang on for this one and end up being able to come back and beat the Bucks 18-17. A late penalty made the difference, and a field goal with 2 seconds left. So once again, one of those finishes. And Geno Smith had like 34 seconds to get them into position, and he was able to do it. Nick Folk kicked a 48-yarder. That was an interesting finish, I think, because of all the focus on the Jets. But there may be a couple of other games that you're thinking about in your backyard that you thought were bigger. A good reminder to you is that each and every week we break down these games, too, heading into the weekend. So we really do just a few football games, and the one is the nail the score, and then to get you ready to think about it if you wanted to know more about the teams or what was happening. We do a segment on that, actually, too, as well.
I think the craziest thing is that, you know, and this started a couple of years ago, but it just made me think about it right now because they had the doubleheader tonight. We only go 2 more days before the start of the next week.
I know. Thursday. Yeah. It's probably genius by the NFL to keep feeding the beast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and try to get good games. Although I think the Sunday night games, we talked about this before with the flex schedule, boy, they get some of the best games. I love the Sunday night game. Usually one of the best on the board when it comes to that. But Matt's right. Here we are. We just get through. We slog through this week, and then we're back already into another week with the Thursday game, and we're just digesting the statistics from the last game. So there you have it. It's a good break from all the politics that we're talking about. Because you know what? I always say things are about numbers, and if things are about numbers and we add up the scoreboard, well, it's pretty black and white in a way in sports. And sports and politics, to me, are similar, too, as well. Because there is a little bit of back and forth. There's trash talking, and you know, there's all kinds of things in between. But I think the big thing is with sports, it's like that mental break, right? And with what's happening on the Hill and the fact that time is ticking away on this session, this may be the most do-nothing Congress in the history of the United States, the rate they're going. And Syria just adds to that, because now so much of the focus on debating, I'm sure it's going to be that, resolution thrown up, another week, drag it out. You know, we don't have that many more legislative days left if you look at a calendar. I mean, it's under 40 left for anything to happen. So the grandiose idea of immigration reform and some other things that were going to be corrected are not going to be corrected because there's no time. Time is ticking away for this year. You know, when you start to see Christmas trees, I actually saw Christmas trees the other day and I thought, oh, I can't look at a Christmas tree. Are you kidding me? We're talking about Christmas already? What? We haven't even gotten through Turkey Day or Halloween or anything else, you know, in between that. He had Bon Accorsi on. He's talking about the leaves changing. We need to be able to take a breath and watch the leaves change, for goodness sake. So the next time we come on the air, we're going to be talking about everything that had to do with, part of it anyway, with what the president had to say. And did he really make a case for we need to go into Syria and get our hands on this chemical arsenal? Well, we're not going to do that by lobbing missiles. The Russian idea of handing over the chemical weapons for international control would be to avert an American strike. If it's really accurate and real, that would be the best alternative, no doubt about it. If that really can happen, and that's, and the president goes on and he, and this would set that up, talks about that there's going to be missile strikes or whatever, we can't sit idly by, whatever he ultimately says, and is part of what the speech is or the address really to the United States and to us citizens. Whatever is sold in that speech, I think will be a part of what is in play for Assad and chemical weapons. And do we have evidence beyond a doubt? And will they give up the chemical weapons? And maybe that's what happens, because Assad realizes, yeah, do I want to deal with this? And maybe not. So you have a couple of different things at work, including different rebel groups. A Free Syrian Army, you know, Free Syrian Army guys are flying around all over Damascus. But there's questions as to, you know, really, are they the moderates that they've been described to be? And what are the other factions out there? And as far as any allies helping the United States, Britain, France, and NATO blame Assad for the horrible things happening in Damascus and what happened last month with the chemical weapons, but are not helping if we decide to, you know, go this missile route, which seemed like that was going to happen. Now that's, you know, in doubt if the Russian plan kicks in and Assad buys into it. But then the question is, how do you make sure you have all the chemical weapons and all the tactical sides of putting that together? Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's time to get healthy, and your first step towards a healthy lifestyle begin at the Healthy Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center in Nashville. Get your free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com and join us for Tennessee's most comprehensive health, fitness, and nutrition expo. There's over 100 exhibits with information and services to help create a healthier life. Also, more than 25 health screenings, cooking demos, and the latest fitness trends. Plus, visit the Young longevity booth. Get free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com. There's prizes all day on the stages and at the booths, like fitness memberships to an area health club every hour. The Healthy Living Expo, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center, Nashville. Get free tickets for yourself, your family, your friends, and everyone you know at thehealthylivingexpo.com. Get to the website now, because tickets are $10 at the door. The Healthy Living Expo, your first step towards a healthy lifestyle. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, the evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
We're coming up on a big anniversary, the anniversary of 9/11. I told the story before as I was on the air in New York, actually WFAN. I was working at WFAN in Queens, and you can imagine what that was like. We didn't talk about sports for weeks on end, and people were very, very anxious in the city. And on the other hand, they were also very helpful to each other. It was a really, really rough time, but it was a rough time across the nation too, not just for people that were directly affected in New York City or in Washington or, hey, in other areas of the country, because there were people on those planes from all over the place, let's face it. Our favorite psychologist, Dr. Wendy James, is in the wings to talk about this anniversary, the 12th anniversary of 9/11. Dr. James, as always, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
And thank you for having me, Kate Delaney. And first, I want to say, of course, our prayers. It's a tragic event for everybody. And I want to say this. Terrorists want to generate fear in Americans, and it's up to us to determine whether they succeed or not. And by even this horrible tragedy of grief for loved ones, the thought we're coming home, and the nation that's rising up and saying every year that this we come together as a nation, and that's so important during this time. And my heart and prayers go out to the grief and loss, because the grief and loss of a loved one is a little bit more national, and they're every year going to remember their loved one that woke up, kissed them, and ended up going off to work and never came home.
Yeah, and that's so, you know, I tell this story, as you can imagine, Dr. James, there's so many things you don't think about. For example, so many people commuted into New York City. So you have people that had cars parked randomly in parking lots to get on trains in Connecticut or New Jersey or other places. And then what they'd have to do is they'd find all these cars and mark them and realize, oh, this must have been someone that was killed on 9/11, because they didn't know. So there were all kinds of things that happened as an offshoot of that, that were, that was very rough for all the people who had, you know, the had family members that were in the towers, for example, or new people, same thing involved with the Pentagon or the plane that went down in Shanksville. But I think a lot of people, because we were so shocked and we were watching, we couldn't help it, we were watching and worried about all kinds of things, that we also got involved in the personal stories in a way of some of the people, especially some of the more high-profile ones that just kept getting mentioned because their family members would talk and would say what happened and whatnot. We got involved in a way in their, you know, in their lives. And that made it even more personal for many people. That's not irrational, though, to do that, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, I remember my feelings that day when I turned on the TV and ended up going to work and going, what? And I think we all became involved. And I, it's important as Americans, it brought us together in a good and bad way, and the grief of what people go through with a loss. And this was a loss, as you said, it was a shock and confusion.
Yeah.
Shock and confusion, not just for those who lost people, but throughout America.
Yes,
as people talk about this, the numbing feeling of tragedy and concern for those affected by the incident goes out to all of us as a grief and loss.
Yeah. How hard is it for the people who made it, who, you know, there's always that if story, oh, if I had been a little bit earlier, I would have been in the building, or I would have been on the plane, or I would have, you know, people missed the planes, people missed being at work or whatever. Is there a survivor's guilt thing that happens even with this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you named it correctly. Survivor's guilt exists. And it's the feeling that I survived and somebody else didn't. And they have, can have emotional problems after, psychological, that it comes back to them. Why did I live and somebody else didn't? And they feel bad about that. And it is survivor's guilt. And they spend a lot of time trying to realize that's okay. It, you know, it wasn't about them. It was about the tragedy and the guilt that's there. And people that I know that were walking on the street and watched it happen, and they didn't die, and their thoughts of survivor's guilt.
What do you tell, because the survivor's guilt happens in all shapes and forms, too. Even, you know, we could take other tragedies, Newtown, Connecticut, things where somebody's not in a car and it's a car accident or whatever. What are some of the things when you go to treat someone, what do you, is that a thing of reinforcing it's not your fault, it's life, it's timing? I mean, you know, you're schooled in this, and this has to be one of the, obviously you just talked about, it's one of the things you talk about. What are some things that you tell people that may help them, actually, that are listening to us, that they should think about if they have that overwhelming sense of guilt?
It's normal. They need to talk about it. They need to talk to their loved ones. They need to, you know, seek help if they need to, or talk to other people that were through it. Whether we see that with, as you indicated, all kinds of people, the Boston Marathon, the shootings. And so talking about it and expressing their feelings is very important. And as a psychologist and counselors, we say, of course, it's not their fault, but they feel like it's their fault. So you need to get them involved in their family and their purpose and let them know that they need to go on with their life because the ones who died would want them to.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for people that, and you mentioned this at the top, because of the people, irrational fears, too, where you're thinking, oh, we're going to be attacked any moment, there are some people that have been carrying that around ever since September 11th, 12th, years ago. How do you work with someone like that? That's a long time to be just constantly looking behind you, being maybe a little paranoid. I mean, there's all kinds of levels, I'm sure, of that. What are some of the things people can do if they have this fear of, you know, hey, next time I could be on that plane or I could be walking down the street or whatever?
Again, the fear comes back to irrational, rational fears. So far since 9/11, we've had incidents, but nothing that we proved was to the extent of 9/11. The Boston Marathon was scary with terrorists, we do believe, and that was the most recent situation since 9/11. So we have to be aware as we watch the TV and its heartbeat, and absolutely radio and TV bring it to the forefront, and we want them to hear from you, Kate Delaney, and radio stations. Yet when we see it over and over again, we develop the irrational fear it's going to happen. And the good news, if we can talk about good news,
sure.
Boston was a horrible tragedy, but not to the extent of 9/11. And so we need to be aware of irrational fears, but rational fears that rational fears are when it happens, but we can't be irrational and get our children in fear or something that's going to happen to us, because then we're frozen in time and we can't move on and we can't live our life. So we need to do that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a great word to use, frozen in time, because people, I found this, people get frozen in time with a lot of different tragedies, the loss of somebody, some shocking thing that happens, sudden death, something, you know, that goes along those same lines. So is that the healthy thing to do, is you got to talk it out, even if you don't, even if you want to be in the bubble, and I call it, you want to be in your bat cave, you need to talk it out. Is that part of, you know, making yourself healthier, I guess?
When you get to the point in grief, there's steps you go through: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And people come to those levels at different points in their life. But until you have acceptance, then you can't move on. And some people take a long time to move on, and dealing with death is a cycle each person has to handle. And we handle it differently. Yet I, as a psychologist and counselors, we want to see them move on, because if you don't move on, you can't go on with your life. You can't, if you have children, take care of them. They're first. And the loved ones in your life that have died want you to continue life. And that means, I do believe there's acceptance, and acceptance is when you realize you have the memories of your loved one, but they need to fade away a little bit. You need to move on with your life and not keep everything about them, or you can't go on with life.
So well said. Dr. Wendy James, always a pleasure to talk to you. I think you really shed a light on a lot of things that are happening, and talking and telling people not to be afraid of that. Thanks so much again for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And everybody, we will get through this as a nation together.
Yep. Well said. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
America tonight, and I promised that we would hit the mailbag, and we're going to do that in a second, but first let's creep out to the phone lines and go to Stacy in Mississippi. Hey, Stacy, what's on your mind?
I'm a first-time caller. Yeah, right. Anyway,
first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I thought of some other lady, and I was thinking you went out and let somebody take your place. Now, boy, I was chewing your butt out. But anyway, it wasn't you, because I was asleep. But anyway, it don't matter. Anyway, by 9/11, and Obama said, I'm just leading all to it. Obama said, nobody done anything wrong. He said, that blasted lie. Let's put it like that. You know how I want to talk. Anyway, I bought $10,000 from my daddy. I started one of them e-stores and screw and glue old furniture. My old place closed down 10 years early. Then I got my first big order. 7 years later, I built a 7,000-square-foot by the land, built my own building on 16th Avenue in Laurel, Mississippi, called Mr. Furniture. In 7 years, counting the furniture and the building, I'm sitting on $1 million worth of everything paid for. I paid 3 years, 3.5 years on that building. Mm. And I woke my wife up one morning. I just bought 20 acres in a high-priced place and bought a new mobile home. Put there, get ready to build a house, top hill, better road and all in that, quarter mile long. Anyway, I woke up one morning. I said, look, baby, look at this. She used to wipe her sleep in her eyes, get ready to go to work. Anyway, I said, airplane just flew into that building. Then I said, oh, my God, no. I said, that is not by accident. I got straight to work as fast as I could. My mother was working for me, too, at the same time. And I told all the guys working for me, I had six guys working for me, delivery men. I said, take my delivery truck, go down there, where charge count at. I said, go down there, buy every gas deal you got, fill them up with gas, take my wife's car, buy a truck, delivery trucks, everything, and fill a slam full of gas. Done that, looking out the front. I'm on the main drag along Mississippi. And it just blew Ashburn. Anyway, time they got back, started filling up. Now they filled up in jugs and all. Cars were bumper to bumper. And then I was doing anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a day in furniture. I was living the American dream. I mean, I was like on top of the world.
I bet.
I could afford anything I wanted. Yeah, furniture's got a big market. I was living on top of the world. I was selling little seats people sell for $300 for $99. I don't try to rip people off. Anyway, done that. And then after we filled all the money, it started bumper to bumper. Then my business went from that, went down to nothing for about 3 or 4 weeks. I said, thank God I paid the end on this building. It kept going worse and worse and worse until I ended up. In 3 years, I never recouped, may I say, and on what I done paid for the building. I could have sold it and made $50,000 on the day I built it, the Hi-Fi Cruise, and I ended up selling it to them. But I ain't going to say how I lost all those 3.5 years plus something, but that changed the world that day that happened. Please let me get something else in. I don't care who likes it, who does, who don't. I was, that's past tense, was a Democrat until Obama. Obama is not trying to hurt them people. He is not, I'm not saying he's helping them, but I'm telling you, if you stand behind Obama, you're in the wrong spot. I'm putting it all together. And if you got good sense, which I know you do, Obama, I don't need to say no more. I think you can put it together. You're a smart lady, and I think you can put it together. That destroyed my business, something I'd worked hard for. I worked 7 days a week. I hate to work on Sunday, sometimes I had to. I sold, put together furniture, sold furniture, delivered furniture in a pickup truck until I could get a delivery truck. And I went on from that in 7 years. I had $1 million business and everything, and that right there, my airplane's running in that. Destroying my business. Okay, I mean, it just went to hell, may we say. Lord forgive him for saying that. But anyway, I ended up having to sell him there a $50,000 loss. After not only my 3.5 years, plus with building costs, a $50,000 loss just to unload it to the people. But anyway, it's still staying there right now. But Obama, I don't give a nobody thinks or nobody says, I don't give a you-know-what. He wants to send these people more money. And as far as us going into Syria, that is a blanking mistake, may I say. You can read my words and you know my anger.
Yeah. Stacy, I agree with you. You know that. You've heard me say that. I agree with you on the whole Syrian thing, absolutely. And you've shared your story one time before, and I totally feel you when you're talking about there you are living the American dream, and then what happens is there is no doubt 9/11 altered our lives. It altered our lives in so many ways. As he's saying, he's working himself to death, he's climbing the ladder on his own, doing it. And those stories were everywhere after 9/11 because businesses tanked. Lots and lots of businesses tanked, and some of them could save their business, and they had to let people go, and some of them couldn't. And it ranged from things like Stacy's selling furniture to whether it was people in the airline business, because now all of a sudden there weren't more pilots that were going to come in, to those 11,000 jobs that would have been there with retired pilots. I know three or four people that had massive changes in their life because of 9/11, not to mention what it did to us on so many other levels. And here we are at the 12-year mark from that attack on 9/11, and how much further or how much safer are we in the United States? Now, there's something to look at. And then talking about Syria, a mistake, I think, to go into Syria in any form, because it's a no-win situation. If you were to say, okay, we can get the chemical weapons and they're gone, and people are going to get, the people that are struggling, that are the victims or have been the victims of Assad's regime or caught in the crossfire between the rebels and Assad, are going to be out. But there's no way that clearly you can say that by lobbing missiles over into Damascus. So lobbing the missiles destroys more history, destroys more lives, and is not helping those people, unless there's something that I don't know that will lead to the rescue of the people who are trapped by Assad, basically, and some of them that can't get out of the country, where he's saying, no, it's the rebels. But this is a no-win situation for the United States, and now the president is stuck in this. So does he forge ahead despite no Congress right now anyway? Despite no Congress and despite no international backing. And I thought for sure he would, because that's the personality, but maybe not. You know, maybe some of the callers were right. Tomas said that when he called in from Michigan, that because public sentiment was so down and the Congress was saying, or it was looking like in handicapping it, they weren't going to get the votes and the send-off they had hoped for, then maybe that's a no-go. Inviting Congress in was still, no matter what anyone says, was still kind of a risky deal, assuming that they would be part of this. And it's not looking that way, not even in the Senate, with the Senate saying, oh, no, the vote's going down, forget it. Wow. I mean, that really, really says something. Now, there's something else that's going on, too, in Washington. A group of bikers have been denied a no-stop permit for the 2 million bikers to D.C. march in commemorating or ride the 12th anniversary of 9/11, meaning they can still ride through the Capitol, but they have to go through the traffic signals and signs and all that. And remember, the ride was supposed to be a response to the Million Muslim March. Remember, you can always tune us in here on the GCN radio network, or you can go to americatonight.net, hit us up on Facebook, or tweet us, if you will, during the show. You can do that, too, as well. But keep it coming, folks, and thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.